When I say risk, what do you think about? Is that jumping from an airplane, snow skiing, bungee jumping? Well, each of these is definitely a risk, but risk can be a whole lot more. Have you ever thought about the risk of going to work, opening or closing a building? Risk to yourself, risk to others. There are hundreds of these risks hidden in our everyday lives. And a great way to explore these is through the people who work to manage these risks every day. That's why we chose the name, Everyday Risk, to emphasize the hidden nature of these risks and speak with different experts on the ways we can manage them. Join me, Larry Pogue, and my co-host, Lucas Fonestill, as we talk with the best and brightest about their work, the risks they see, and how we might manage them.
Larry, super excited for our guest today. We have Darren Beard on the show with us. Tell us a little bit about Darren real quick.
Well, Darren's been in the transportation business for over 20 years, and he's been with Lockton for 10 of those. One interesting thing about Darren, too, is that he and I served in Korea about the same time several years ago, almost 30 years ago. And so it's great to have him on as a guest today, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think the listeners are really going to enjoy him talking about transportation, the state of the industry right now that we're in due to the pandemic, and excited to get this message out.
All right, let's get going. Hey, Darren, thanks so much for being on the show with us today. And I just kind of wanted to open up. We've got the COVID-19 pandemic going on. Talk to me a little bit about the health and the welfare of the drivers. You know, where does that currently sit?
You know, it is a big concern. Drivers are on the front lines delivering all the needed supplies to medical facilities, restaurants that are still trying to survive in this environment, grocery stores, and just all of those commodities that are essential to day-to-day life, regardless of COVID. And they are experiencing the same challenges as you and I as it comes to those very things we need to try to stay healthy: hand sanitizers, disinfecting wipes, you know, understanding that they're living in a truck. And they don't have access to the same stores at the same times as we do. And without the ability to get the necessary supplies, they're having to come up with creative ways to still maintain their health while still delivering those commodities that we so need.
What's that impact been like?
You know, it's really strange because there's no one major impact that's consistent across either any type of trucking or across the country. We're hearing from shippers and receivers that are making available water and hand sanitizer and disinfecting wipes and some of those things, just making them available to the truck drivers who are coming in and out of their facilities. But on the flip side of that, we're seeing where some of the, because of the fear of transmission, truck drivers are arriving at locations and are unable to access the building. They're unable to use the restrooms. They're unable to wash their hands. So it's really become very difficult. And then, you know, early on in the COVID-19, states were shutting down rest areas, the very places where truck drivers are stopping to use the bathroom and sleep overnight and just kind of take care of that basic personal hygiene. States were closing them down. Fortunately, through a lot of conversation, some are opening them back up, providing a space for truck drivers to do those very basic needs.
Darren, that's so interesting because I wouldn't even, you know, you think about just the ease of a restroom, right? Or being able to buy a bottle of water. And for these drivers to not have that easy access like they used to, some of them have standard routes, right? And they have their standard stops, and not being able to do that anymore. The ones that aren't, they're just going to new places every day and having to find places, pulling up somewhere and seeing a place closed. And it's not easy to get in and out of a lot of these locations. And you think you found a spot and you didn't. And so it's crazy because a lot of people just don't see these behind the scenes, how it's affecting these drivers and the changes they're having to make, not only in their daily lives, but just in their work patterns. So it's very, very interesting to hear this.
Right. Considering the average tractor trailer is over 70 feet long, in normal times, you know, places like McDonald's or fast food restaurants, they don't want trucks in their parking lot. They take up a lot of space. you know, they're usually heavy, 80,000 pounds in that area. So even trying to get into one of these locations that may be serving can often be difficult, and faced with the fact that you can't pull a tractor trailer through a drive-through. So with most of the places where they normally might be able to get some food during these challenging times, the lobbies are locked. So we've heard of different situations where restaurants across the country or quick serve restaurants are making exceptions for truck drivers to be able to come in the lobby, or at least, you know, walk through the drive-through, which is normally prohibited. It's just those simple things that people take for granted in normal times that the truck drivers are facing today. You know, it's a hard job regardless in perfect times. This has just added a unique wrinkle to it. One of our customers that we deal with, we're ecstatic. One of their large distribution centers they deliver to has put out at least porta potties. That allows the people who are coming and going there, it gives them at least a place. It may not be the best choice, but it's better than nothing at all. And that's one of the challenges these drivers are facing today, as there's such a demand for certain items. The benefits of shelter in place is they're not experiencing the same traffic delays they would normally, especially in the urban areas. However, they'll get to a distribution center with a load of hand sanitizer, toilet paper, food for that matter, and they're faced with 2, 3, and 4 hour wait times in order to either even get backed into a door to get unloaded. Or if they get into a door to get unloaded, they're not allowed on the dock. They're not allowed to assist in the delivery process. And the warehouse itself may be short 20% of their employees due to either exposure or fear of exposure. So it just delays the process. So it just creates a little bit of frustration. They know they're delivering much needed supplies, but to be stuck somewhere for 4, 5, or 6 hours waiting for their load to be emptied so they can bounce back and repeat the cycle, that creates frustration.
Well, you know, you bring up some good points, Darren, and one of them is the stay at home, right? So what's that changing, or how's that changing or impacting like diesel prices, and how's that affecting the roads, meaning less traffic on the road? Are we seeing fewer losses, more losses? Are drivers being able to concentrate more on driving because there's less traffic and focused on their deliveries? What are we seeing from those sides of things?
Normally, you would say diesel fuel specifically for a truck that averages maybe anywhere from 6 to 8 miles per gallon, having lesser fuel prices is a plus. And it is. However, one of the challenges that we face in this overall market is the fact that nobody's able to drive, or it's limited, right? Shelter in place. My clients who deliver gasoline and some of those things are basically sitting around with not much to do. With no demand, there is no need for supply. So the flip side of that is with the fuel prices being so low, those folks in the oil business per se, it's just not profitable to produce. So therefore, the trucking demand that supports those industries is now no longer needed, or needed to a lesser degree. So there is some of that balance. The backside of that, the lack of traffic, you know, speaking with one of our drivers the other day, his term was the best trucking in 30 years. They get out on the road, they can get where they need to go. They have to be less focused on the actions of others, who tend to create most of the crashes anyways, which is a positive thing, right? If there's less traffic, there's less opportunity to be involved in a crash. And a lot of our clients are experiencing less frequency, less severity of crashes. They're still having them, but it seems to be less. The backside of that is because these drivers are so ingrained in their defensive driving principles and dealing with the other traffic on the road, there is the opportunity that there could build in some complacency, where normally traveling into an urban area, you're always aware of the other people's actions. When that's not occurring, you know, the conversations we're having is stay on top of the awareness piece so the drivers don't become complacent, because this too shall pass. And we wholly expect that when the economy is able to start back up again, when people are authorized to leave their houses per se, we expect that it's going to be a holiday Friday in terms of driving, on the roads for a good while because people are ready just to get out and go.
Darren, that's a good point. You know, the economy is going to change. We're going to have this return to normalcy that we go to. What are the carriers anticipating in that? So we're obviously pushing really hard now, a lot of stuff to just keep things going from a transportation standpoint. Where do we see ourselves a few months down the road?
That is a very good question. And unfortunately, I don't know if anybody knows the answer. You know, the folks we're talking with, they expect there to be a lull. Even the motor carriers I'm talking with today, who are still extremely busy, haven't seen the dramatic falls of volume of freight, know that at some point there has to be a whiplash effect or a lag effect, but no one can really predict it. So everyone is taking a forward-thinking look, but being very cautious in how they're projecting out what the third quarter and fourth quarters look like. In normal years, transportation is a good bellwether of the economy. You have cyclical uptimes leading up into the holidays, into the summer, and then you have cyclical slowdowns. It's just the way it is, and no one right now can predict if that is going to be normal coming through. So it's very interesting times. We ran into this where we have some motor carriers that really have seen an increase in freight demand because they're in those sectors where delivering the needed goods to grocery stores and box retailers and such like that. But we've also seen the flip side, those motor carriers that don't necessarily support that business, and they're forced with laying off, furloughing drivers, parking trucks, canceling orders for trucks that in a normal time they would have their cyclical cycle of replacing equipment. They're looking at it from the standpoint of making a capital expenditure of $3, $4, $5, $6, $10 million in the third or fourth quarter. We don't know if we want to be held to that standard because we just don't know what that will bring. So the lower fuel prices help make those decisions. In most cases, trucking companies will upgrade their fleets for safety technology and things like that. But every year, you know, the fuel efficiency of tractor trailers, you know, it improves. So when you can cut a half mile per gallon or even an eighth of a mile per gallon off of a truck that runs 120,000 miles a year, that's real money. So lesser fuel prices may change some decisions on whether or not they get rid of a truck that may not be operating as efficiently.
Darren, talk to us about employment and employees. With some drivers being laid off, a lot of people out there looking for jobs, what do you see the transportation of the fleet industry looking like in 6 to 12 months? And I know it's a super tough question, but do you foresee a lot of non-drivers coming into this industry? Do you see drivers kind of taking time off so they lose maybe some on the physical and mental side and having to retrain when they start back up? Or is this just a nature of the beast that happens? We'll see them pick back up. Shouldn't be a problem moving forward.
Great question. In an industry as a whole, and speaking in average terms, that has 100% driver turnover annually. Turnover is constant, and hiring individuals and people leaving in the driving sector is something that hasn't changed and will not change going forward. 6 to 12 months down the road, I see much of the same as normal. You'll have folks that entered the industry for many different reasons, as much so as their current, you know, job is no longer there and they need a somewhat stable income, and driving a truck provides that regardless. There's ups and downs in the economy. So most of my larger motor carriers today are still hiring. There's still people coming through the door, those who may have been laid off or furloughed from their current position, others that it's just a great time to try to help out. Some of my larger motor carriers are still bringing in trainees into their training program, which is kind of an exception to the rules when we think about social distancing. However, most college training programs for truck drivers are not in effect right now. So there's a lot of things going on. I do believe, depending on how the economy rebounds from the current COVID-19 situation, it may drive more people who have never driven a truck into the business. Depending on which studies you look at, the trucking industry as a whole has been short anywhere from 80,000 to 140,000 drivers anyways prior to this. Now, that number can be argued one way or the other, but as truck drivers are retiring, there's not a natural progression to get into the business. Driving truck is hard. It's not a job that everybody wants, whether you're home every day or you're out 2 weeks. It's just it's a job that's tough to do. So I think there will always be a need for people to come into the industry. There's not necessarily a big push today to try to pull people into the industry. Again, even my motor carriers who are continuing to train folks who have never driven before are cautiously optimistic as we invest the money in training someone. If we don't have a truck or a load for them to haul, then it doesn't benefit anyone. No one makes any money in that situation. So it's different. As it relates to bringing drivers back to work who may have been furloughed or laid off or that's an interesting question. Retraining is that age-old question of do we need to do it? Should we do it? Is it even necessary? Driving a truck is somewhat like riding a bike. However, my thought process is more in line with the lifestyle of the driver. And think of it in cyclical sleep patterns. If a driver's been laid off or furloughed for 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month, and their normal driving pattern is to leave at 11 o'clock at night and go to bed at 8 in the morning, but for a month they've got up at 7 a.m. and walked the dog and went to bed at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., that's my bigger concern as we bring back the workforce into a normal pattern.
Is there anything that carriers can do? I mean, so you're saying some of the carriers are having a downtime. They're seeing a little bit of downtime. I mean, anything the carriers can be doing right now to improve the company while this business is changing? Anything that you would recommend they be looking at?
Right. This is a great time in theory to take advantage of if you're experiencing a downtime to go through your equipment, do the proactive maintenance on trucks and trailers. If you have the opportunity to conduct some training via online systems, it's a great opportunity to take that. One of the challenges we face in over-the-road trucking, the folks that are out overnight sleeping in their truck, is most of these folks live all over the country and may never have access to a physical location. Trucking companies have been very good at shifting their learning management systems to online. So the capabilities are out there. One of the concerns that most of my motor carriers have is they're reactionary. They're making money when the trucks are moving. So with that, with no revenue coming in, their concerns are about saving costs versus adding costs. And although some would say short-sighted, the decision to spend $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 to do some proactive maintenance on a fleet when there's little marginal income coming in is really sometimes a hard sell.
Yeah, that makes total sense, Darren. I think, you know, in times like this, with every industry, communication is king. And employers communicating to employees really is what's most important. And I think that is really what's going to bring a company through times like this and the industry. And so definitely appreciate you coming on and speaking with us today and sharing this great information. I think this is going to be really good for people to hear. People are always wondering what's going on in the industry. And I know for me personally, this is behind the scenes stuff that I don't deal with every day. And a lot of people don't deal with and they don't see. So seeing what the drivers are facing, what the companies are facing, I think this is good for everybody to kind of understand.
Communication is critical in times like these. It's always critical to communicate with your workforce. But in these times, it's even more important. Right now, we have to hyper-focus on our communication with our employees because while they're out on the roads and they're making their deliveries and they're supporting the economy and bringing those necessary products to the people, they also have families at home. And they're concerned about their own personal safety. They're concerned about their family's safety. So having concerns about your own family while you're out on the roads, maybe 1,000 miles away, weighs on the driver's psyche. So having that communication with your employees just to see how things are going, to keep them focused on the task at hand, providing a support network. It may be just cash allocations or, you know, getting them in touch with local food banks, whatever the case may be, help support the people who are out there because we know it's concerning them.
Darren, I really appreciate your insight on that. I know we both served in the military over the years. We know that what we're looking for is when do I trust communication? So, communicating early, communicating clearly, and communicating regularly allows people to develop trust.
Again, this too shall pass. The transportation industry as a whole is very resilient. And I'm confident as we continue to do the work of the people, transporting the commodities that people need to sustain life. If there is one positive thing that comes from this, the transportation industry, who normally is looked at in a negative light, is actually being highlighted for all the good work they do on a daily basis.
Man, Larry, what a good conversation with Darren. Excited to have him on the show. He's definitely a wealth of knowledge and knows the industry and definitely can talk to it. So it's exciting to hear him discuss the backside of things. I mean, the health and welfare of the drivers, of finding restrooms, finding rest stops, you know, having to change their daily patterns for what's open and what's not, and going to the training aspect of doing online training instead of being able to come in maybe to your corporate headquarters or to your facilities office and do training, having to do that online instead. And just a lot of those, the key points that he kind of discussed, I thought were great for our listeners to hear. What other things did you pick up on, Larry?
Well, you know, kind of, again, we're in a crisis. So what do we do during that crisis? How are we making it valuable to ourselves? You know, we're accepting the brutal reality that we're in, but creating hope. So unit maintenance, developing that learning management system that maybe we had not gotten around to. But communication was a real, real big one. I think you repeated that several times. In how are we talking to people? The health and wellness of our folks. So we need to be developing our next set of drivers for the next big push. We know we've got 100% turnover. I thought that was really interesting. I didn't realize it was that high. So how are we communicating not only into the markets to gain new drivers, but then to the ones that we have? How are we retaining them? Open, honest, and regular communication is going to be significant in retaining drivers and ensuring that you're managing the fleet overall and ready to go. So again, great discussion. Always love talking to Darren, and look forward to even having him back again to continue this update.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday Risk. We look forward to talking to you again soon.